the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. So welcome. Status of daughters in Islam is the topic we're going to discuss today. But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 2nd of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of the month of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, in today's special, we open the Holy Quran and we listen to one ayah of chapter Luqman, verse 17.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya bunayya aqimis salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkari wasbir 'ala ma asabak. Inna dhalika min 'azmil umur.
O my son, establish prayer, enjoin what is right, forbid what is wrong, and be patient over what befalls you. Indeed, all that is of the matters requiring determination.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the duties of the parents unto their children is to recommend them to perform prayer. We must train our children to be believers and godly by means of recommending them the prayers, and also through recommending them that they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. We may bring them up, thereby some social and responsible persons. However, after strengthening the foundations of origin and resurrection, which are the sources of all theological beliefs, Luqman, the great personality in Islamic world, refers to the most important thing, that is, the performance of prayer. Honoring the daughters in Islam. A daughter is a great bounty and an honor granted by Allah. Imam Hassan, Shia's second imam, said, "Girls are a source of reward and sons are a blessing. Rewards are in one's favor on the day of judgment, whereas one will be held accountable for blessings." Thus, it is incorrect to believe that one has been humiliated by being granted a girl. Rather, it is an honor, a bounty, and a gate towards paradise. Daughters are a great responsibility to rear and entail greater expenditure. And this is why the reward for raising them correctly is greater than that for a son.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. We find that the females, both ladies and girls and daughters, and our sisters play a very significant role in our communities. We find that in the Holy Quran, the ladies are highlighted, and it must be indicated that there are at least two Quranic surahs, one named after Mary, I mean the mother of Jesus Christ, Maryam, Maryam in Arabic, and Mary in English. And another one is Quranic surah or chapter Al-Kawthar, which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the case of her favorite daughter, Fatima al-Zahra sallallahu alaiha. I mean, at least in these two cases, we find that the character and career of typical ladies are very highly favored in the Holy Quran. And as we believe that the Holy Quran is the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can be deduced that ladies and females and ladies, especially, for example, mothers, or sisters, daughters, they play a significant role in educating the posterity. Another point is that this educating and this responsibility of educating the posterity is left first to mothers in any community. And in order to make a good mother, a girl should be educated in a very good and fruitful way, because, I mean, this girl is going to be the mother in the future. At the same time, we find that, for example, in Islamic hadiths, it's indicated to men to be very much kind to their daughters and their sisters. Why? This is because they are very much sensitive and very much delicate. At the same time, we find that, for example, ladies housewives should be respected, not in words, but in deeds. And it's related in Islamic hadiths that a man who helps his wife at home, his helping his wife is counted, is reckoned as a kind of jihad or struggle in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. Now we go for important phrases parents can use to empower their daughters. I am not okay with, or I'd like you to, take a break from, you need to stop that, or you should listen more to what I say. Using I statements and taking responsibility for our own emotions and desires teaches our girls to do the same. It also mentors our daughters to ask for what they want, vice versa, telling people what they don't want, which increases the rate at which others cooperate with them. Raising daughters who use I statements to own their choices, wishes, dreams, and goals helps to create a future generation of women who blame others less and take control of create the life they want instead of waiting for others or outside circumstances to provide the way.
Assalamu alaik, assalamu alaik, assalamu alaik, ya bint Rasulillah, assalamu alaik, ya bint
Fathers are so important to their daughters. A role model, a father, is one of the first role models we'll look up to as we grow up. A father's actions promote and reinforce behavior as children look up to them to emulate. This can be seen in how the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, was a role model for his daughter Fatima in a report. I did not see anyone who more resembled the Messenger of Allah in the manner of speaking than Fatima. When she came to him, he stood up for her, made her welcome, kissed her, and had her sit in his place. When the Prophet came to her, she stood up for him, took his hand, made him welcome, kissed him, and made him sit in her place. She came to him during his last illness, and he greeted her and kissed her. A father that displays healthy respect to the other people in his life provides an incredible example that daughters will want to mirror in their own lives.
Our mistress, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, played a big role in changing the Arab perspective about their daughters in the Arabian Peninsula. Fatima was born in a time and place where men and women alike would look down upon their daughters. As you know, that in that era, in that time, it was bad news for a man to receive that his daughter, the newborn child, was a girl. Not only for men, but even for women. Women were in a stage that if they were pregnant, they hoped that the child would be a boy in order to bring honor to the family. If the child was born and it turned out to be a girl, then she would feel ashamed of herself because she brought dishonor to her husband. If it was a boy, the mother would be proud and happy about it because she has honored her husband. Now, if that was the feeling of women at that time, how would you think the men would feel when they were brought the news that their newborn child is a girl?
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, في أمان الله.
بذكر الله جل في علاه نحيا بنور رضا نحيا بنور رضا في ذكر الله نستقي هدى لقلب يحلو ثنا لقلب يحلو ثنا بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a saying of the Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, in honor of his noble sister, Hazrat Ma'sumah, peace be upon her, who reposes in peace in Qom. Paradise is the reward for the one who visits her shrine, aware of her status.
with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the profound saying, or this lengthy saying rather, of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he discusses the units or battalions of Aql and Jahl, or the tradition that is known as Junud al-Aql wa Jahl. And we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam alayhi salam again mentioning two of the particular units, one for Aql, one for Jahl. He says that that unit which is for Aql is known as Ash-Shahama, and that unit which is for Jahl is Al-Balada. Now, Shahama is that characteristic and that particular trait which an individual has, and he is basically is trying to say that this person is a very vibrant person. He's a person who, you know, gets along with others. Others get along with him. You know, he is a happy, not happy-go-lucky. That is a very, you know, detrimental term. You know, a person is haphazard. No, this is not what this means. But again, as we mentioned, all of these particular characteristics are interrelated somehow. But in a particular context, you can see two or three coming, or in a particular, you know, scenario, we can see this one coming and that one going away, and so on and so forth. So here what we mean by Shahama is that a person is vibrant. You know, he's a person who, you know, is not always down. He's not, you know, doesn't have melancholy, if you want to call it that. He's not dull, as the other word says. He's not someone, you know, who just kind of, you know, as they say in English, he brings life to the party. He doesn't, you know, destroy the party. No, he's that type of person, you know, is good to be around with. You know, he gives you energy as well. He energizes you. This type of, obviously in a positive way and in a good way. You know, he jokes, you know, he's, you know, lively and so on and so forth. But all in, within the confinements of the shara and within the confinements of the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is on the one side. And on the other side, a person is dull, a person who doesn't, you know, just brings other people down. He just, you know, doesn't, you know, like. No, loneliness is one thing, as we say, you know, being alone, being in solitude is one thing, but this person, you know, it is better for people rather to stay away from him. Because if he's within a gathering, he will just kind of, you know, not bring anything to it. He will basically kind of decrease the happiness and the vibrancy of that particular gathering, and so on and so forth. He might just be a very negative person as well. So we can explain this on one side, a very positive person, as a very negative person, and so on and so forth. Again, there are many other possible explanations that can be given with regards to these two characteristics. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to instill within ourselves all those that is positive, all that which is good according to this tradition, and to remove from us and to keep away from us all that which is bad and has been mentioned as the units of Jahl in this tradition. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading.
send me a peace or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك رب بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 12 to 14 of Suratul Isra, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahat Anwar, the Egyptian reciter. The audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, and we have appointed the night and the day as two signs. Then we have made dark the sign of the night, while we have made the sign of the day illuminating, that you may seek bounty from your Lord, and that you may know the number of the years and the reckoning. And we have explained everything with full explanation. And we have fastened everyone's deeds to his neck, and on the day of resurrection, we shall bring out for him a book which he will find wide open. It will be said to him, "Read your book. You yourself are sufficient as a reckoner against you this day."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجعلنا الليل فمحونا
وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا اقرا كتابك ونخرج له صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome back to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was recitation of verses 12 to 14 of Surah Al-Isra, recited by the great Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Anwar Shahhat Anwar. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's analyze this beautiful recitation.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In verse number 12 of Surah Al-Isra, which is a rather long verse, the first phrase that we have, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ, we have a long vowel in the word جَعَلْنَا, right? It's an alif al-mad, alif mamduda, and it's followed by a word which begins with a hamzatul wasl. Okay, so here we have to pronounce the long vowel like a short vowel.
It's equivalent short vowel,
yeah,
actually.
It's equivalent or appropriate short vowel, which would be fatha for aliful mad.
Yes.
Okay, so what causes this? Why can't we just say وَجَعَلْنَا لَيْلَ like a normal long vowel? The reason is that there's a hamzatul wasl after the long vowel. So this is a rule in tajweed that every single time that you have a long vowel at the end of a word, followed by a word which has a hamzatul wasl, the long vowel automatically turns into a short vowel. It's impossible to pronounce the long vowel whenever there is hamzatul wasl after it.
And
it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound correct.
And we all know that a hamzatul wasl is not pronounced.
Yes, it's not pronounced because it's in the middle of the phrase. It's
yes.
in the middle of the utterance, okay? Mm-hmm. But if it's at the beginning, it's pronounced, okay? So that's the only time the hamzatul wasl is pronounced is whenever it's at the beginning of the utterance.
And you are supposed to distinguish, actually, the harakah.
Exactly. The harakah is not written on top of the hamzatul wasl.
Mm-hmm.
Because each time it could be different.
Yes.
And just for the sake of ease, they don't write the hamzatul wasl. Because, you know, sometimes, most of the time, it's not pronounced. If they write, for example, fatha or dhamma, the reader might think that this is probably a normal hamza, a normal hamzatul qatr, okay?
Yes.
So it's not written, because normally you wouldn't pronounce the hamzatul wasl.
And what is the sign, of hamzatul wasl?
It's alif with a small sad written on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, hamzatul wasl is also known as aliful wasl, because it's written like an alif.
Alif. Yes.
وَالنَّهَارَ, we have another hamzatul wasl here, which is not pronounced, since again, it's in the middle of the utterance. And also the lam is not pronounced, just like the previous word. We have al-layl and an-nahar. Both lam and noon are letters, shamsi letters, sun letters. Okay, so whenever there's alif lam followed by a sun letter, the lam and sometimes the hamzatul wasl or aliful wasl, they're not pronounced because this is a rule. This is actually an assimilation in Arabic, which means that it's easier to pronounce words that have sun letters after alif lam in this way without pronouncing the lam sign.
And the sun letter becomes mushaddad.
Yeah, that's another point. Another point is that the sun letter becomes mushadda. And actually, this shadda lets us know that this is a sun letter. This could be another clue, okay?
To distinguish sun letters. Yeah. And here we have to observe one, I think.
Yeah. So I was talking about the assimilation. Assimilation means that a rule that allows us to pronounce something or read something with more ease, more easily. Okay. So if you say wal nahar, it's a little difficult in Arabic. Wal nahar, wal layl, wal layl, wal nahar. We pronounce the sun letter with shatta, and this shatta is actually the lam that is being merged into
the sun letter. And here the case is noon, so we have to observe
hunna. We have to observe hunna as well. Yes.
Okay, the next point, brother.
فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ. So we have matul munfasil. So we have a choice. Matul munfasil, which is also known as Jaizul munfasil, which means it's an optional lengthening, which is disjunct, by the way.
Yes.
Which means that the long vowel is in one word, and the cause or the means of the long vowel, that which causes this ma to take place, is in another word, which is the hamza. Okay? فَمَحَوْنَا, that's one word. آيَة is another word. So together we have matul munfasil, and Sheikh Anwar Shahad, he lengthened it to four vowel counts, approximately.
And before we have aw, the sound aw looks like.
فَمَحَوْنَا, which is matulim, one of the types of matulim.
Diphthong.
Yes, it's a diphthong. And we also have the other kind of matulim, where it's a ya sakina followed, preceded by fatha. Okay, so this is the rule for matulim.
That is ay.
Ay or aw, whenever waw is sakin preceded by fatha, which would be aw, famahawna, okay? Or whenever you have a ya sakina preceded by fatha, which would be ay, like in this verse we have, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. Now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Imam Baqir alayhi salam told a person who was called Sa'd, O Sa'd, learn the Quran. Imam said, on the day of judgment, the Quran will come in the most beautiful condition that people have seen. فَيَخِرُّ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. The Quran will bow down before the arsh. فَيُنَادِيهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Then Allah will call the Quran, يَا حُجَّتِي فِي الْأَرْضِ. O my hujjah on the earth. وَكَلَامِي الصَّادِقِ النَّاطِقِ. My word, which is true and which speaks. اِرْفَعْ رَأْسَكَ. Because Quran is bowing down, Allah says, raise your head. وَسَلْ تُعْتَ. Ask me, and you will be given. Whatever you ask, it will be granted. وَشْفَعْ. تُشَفَّع. Do shafa, intercede, and your shafa will be accepted.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about the beginning phrase of this supplication. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. Oh Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything. In this regard, we talked about the vastness of the mercy of the Almighty Allah and different manifestations throughout our entire lives. We talked about humans themselves, the creation, the story, and different levels and stages of creation of human beings, how they are raised and how they are born, and even the respiratory system, their skins, their defensive system of the bodies, and also we talked about the plants, the animals, insects, all of which are manifestations of the Almighty Allah's mercy. Now, one of the most important insects is honeybee. Botanists say that most of the flowers do not sap throughout the day, but rather at certain times of the day. And this period does not exceed more than 3 hours. Moreover, not all the flowers offer their sap at a fixed time. Some have sap in the morning, some at noon, and the others may be in the afternoon. The honeybee is both a botanist as well as a punctual one. It knows the flowers and the time of availability of sap in each flower, and as a result, approaches each flower at its designated time. The honeybee then changes the flower sap into a substance that is not only sweet and pleasant, but also colorful and energizing. The honey produced inside the bee's body is a unique food of this world, And above all of that, as stated in the Holy Quran, it is a cure to human diseases. Fihi shifa'un linnas, therein is healing for mankind. And hundreds of books have been written about bee and its life, and these all show Almighty Allah's embracing mercy toward this apparently small but valuable creature. And as a result, this mercy is for all the human beings. Now that we talked about the creation of human beings, all the physical and material needs in this world, let's talk about some of the aspects of the mercies that are yet invisible and somehow not material. The omnipotent Allah has willed to place human being in a corner of the world for a limited amount of time out of mercy, allowing him to benefit from all the blessings that are prepared, like sun and moon, myriad of fruits, vegetables, and seas, together with halal meat obtained from different creatures from the territory of the skies, the earth, and the seas.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything and by your power by which you overcome everything and which submits to it everything and humble before it is everything and by your might by which you conquer everything and by your majesty against which nothing can stand And by your greatness which prevails over everything And by your authority which is exercised over everything And by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished And by your names which manifest your power over everything. And by your knowledge which pervades everything. And by the light of your face which illuminates everything. Oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy, oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy.
Allah has granted the necessary equipment for humans to establish their life. Human beings should rely on their minds and their free will to choose the path of religion and guidance, which is a unique blessing. Now, the point is that the right path is so clearly defined by the heavenly books, especially the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophets and Imams, alayhimussalam. And by doing so, man recognizes his duty and responsibility towards his Creator, and rightfully tries to fulfill those duties so that he may reach perfection. Human beings should attempt to work for the hereafter during the limited period of time that they have in this world. And they have to strive for attaining Almighty Allah's satisfaction and His paradise. If human beings contemplate on all the material as well as spiritual blessings that are granted by the Almighty Allah, they discover that his general mercy has surrounded both the apparent and the hidden sides of the heavens and earth. We human beings are cloaked to such an extent in Almighty Allah's mercy and his beneficence that no other creature, even the nearest angel, is like us. And at this point, human beings should insightfully begin their spiritual journey to serve Allah, to reach his countenance. They should humbly pray and worship Allah with all their organs at every point in time and beseech him. And by choosing the right path that is Almighty Allah's manifested guidance, together with fulfilling those duties and serving his servants, humans, as asserted by the Holy Quran, will be granted a great reward in Almighty Allah's paradise. So, as a result, Almighty Allah's guidance is also a valuable blessing that is counted when we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. O Almighty Allah, I ask you by the mercy that envelops everything. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is From the Moon to the Sun. We are here to celebrate the auspicious birth anniversary of Sayyidah Ma'asuma salamullah alayha here from the holy city of Qom. Inshallah ta'ala, what we plan on doing here is from the birthday of Sayyidah Ma'asuma salamullah alayha till the birthday of Imam Rida alayhi salam, we're going to be here with you with the show From the Moon to the Sun, and we're going to be talking about this heavenly brother and sister. What better occasion than this, their birth anniversary? And of course, these 10 days are celebrated by many Muslims across the world as the 10 days of Karama. And we hope during these 10 days, we receive some of that Karama, some of that grace, that blessing, that bounty from these two generous and glorious brother and sister. Of course, as always, in the studio, I have with me my sister and friend, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for being with us. Today, let's talk more about Sayyidah Ma'asuma salamun alayha, because we have like about 5 days to discuss her character, and then 6 more days we're going to try to talk about Imam Rida alayhi salam. And during this 10-day period. So,
let me tell you something. Well, what are the aspects or attributes or dimensions of Lady Fatima al-Masuma's life that I really like personally is her scientific aspect. If you want, I can share
some accounts
about that. Well, Lady Fatima, as we said in our previous program, she was raised under the care and supervision and guardians of her beloved father for the first 6 years, and then was under the supervision and care of her beloved brother Imam Rida alayhi salam for the rest of her short life. She was 27 when she passed away. One story that I remember about her life that reflects the academic or the scientific aspect of her life is that when she was very young, because her dad was, you know, she was 6 until her dad was with her. Her dad wasn't in prison yet, and a group of Shiites from another city traveled to the city of Medina to see their imam and to ask them about their questions. Mm-hmm. They came to the city of Medina. They went to Imam Musa al-Qadim alayhi salam's door. They knocked on the door, saying, you know, hoping to see their imam, but unfortunately, as they had no mobile phones or